Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday evening. Oh, my gosh. I am excited. I'm always excited, as I say. I mean, I listened to 8 years of Thursdays, and my introduction has not changed. I'm always excited. I'm always glad to be with you all. I'm always glad to have you in the studio with me. I'm always excited to see what God is going to do, because when you're really being obedient and submissive to God, you may have one plan or you think you have a plan, and then God comes, and if you're submissive, God comes in with his plan, amen, and the Holy Spirit, when you just, you know, be submissive to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit does this thing. And I tell you, it's nothing like when the Holy Spirit brings something, because that's the anointing that carries, you know, that's the anointing, that's the burden breaker, that's the anointing that breaks yokes, when the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to minister whatever it is that God wants us to know. And so tonight, my original message was growing pain. And one day that message is going to get played in the month of September, but not today. So on the flyer, I put growing pains, and that was going to be the message on tonight, and I was pretty sure of it. But it didn't sit. So I'm going in a different direction. If you've been following me for 8 years, this message may not sound unfamiliar. You may have heard me minister this message before, but I'm believing that if ministered it before, and God is putting it on my heart to minister it again. Repetition, easy, easy pleasure, pleasure often, often habit. We have to repetitiously hear the word of God for it to get in our spirits, right? And once it gets, here's one thing to memorize stuff, you know, and that's good. You got a good memory to memorize stuff, but it's another thing when that stuff that you no longer memorize, but it's in you, it's the core of you, you breathe it, you can speak it, you know, you just know it. And so as we keep hearing the word of God, that stuff gets in us. And though you may not be able to say, yeah, that was fun, I seen that in Matthew 25, or, oh, yeah, I seen that in Deuteronomy 28, even though you may not be able to quote the scriptures with the actual book and verse, that's okay. But you get those words down in your spirit, and those words begin to minister to you. And it's the whole, one of the Holy Spirit's job is to bring things to your remembrance. So when you are hearing the word of God repetitiously, you're hearing it over and over and over, and you just get letting it get into your spirit, guess what? A situation may come about, and before you know it, all of a sudden a scripture will come to mind. And you'd be like, wow, I can't believe I remember that. But why you remember it? Because it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring things to our remembrance. And even though you may be, I listen to worship music. I play it all night in one station, and I'm gonna do a shout. I'm gonna do a shout out. I listen to Boss Christian Radio. It's a radio station, and I'll mention that this evening. I'll give you a link. But it's continuous worship music and the word of God. And I just let it play all night. And even though Cody D is knocked out sleep, probably by then I'm snoring or slobbing or whatever it is that I do, my spirit is still alert. My spirit is getting fed through the word of God, through worship. And so I like to keep that going in my house. It keeps an atmosphere of peace and tranquility. It keeps God's presence in my house. And no matter what I go through outside of those doors, when I walk into this house, there's a peace. There's certain things I told you all, there's certain things that I just won't watch in my house. And it doesn't say I'm perfect. It doesn't say I'm perfect. It doesn't say there's some things I watch that I shouldn't watch, you know. But when I watch something, if it grieves my spirit, the chances are I'm going to turn it off. I'm not going to continue to watch it on the first time, you know. So anyway, saying all that to say, tonight I believe God is taking me in the direction of words. And we're going to be talking about words on tonight and why are words important and what's so important about words. I heard the Holy Spirit tell me earlier this week, twice, last week and this week, and I kept hearing, I'm only going to be moved by my words. I'm only going to be moved by my word. And I believe what the Holy Spirit is saying is that I am only going to be moved by my word, meaning God is only going to be moved by his word. So what's going to activate him in your life to move on your behalf is by you repeating his word to him. Do you need to repeat his word? Do he not know his word? Yes, he knows his word. But you need to know his word. And when you regurgitate his word back to him, that's confirmation. That's confirmation that you know his word and that you're what? You're standing on his word. And so we could cry and we could get scared. We could operate in the spirit of fear. We could cry. We could have spiritual temper tantrums. We could do all of that. But in this season, God is going to move on your behalf by his word. And so we're going to get to why his word is important, why words are important. Words, period, are important because words, we know the word of God tells words do one or two things, right? They give life or they give death. You know, so we know that. We know words are important. We know that, that words are the major form of communication. We know that a word drive perception, right? So we know that words are important. I don't know if you know, but you are words housed in flesh. You are words housed in flesh. And so we're going to find out from the beginning why words are important. And keep in mind, purpose, that God came in the flesh, right, and dwelt among us, is so that we, I think because we've seen the power of the word, because he was what? He was the word made flesh, right? So let's just get into this. I'm all over the place. I'm not sure where the Holy Spirit's going to take us, but I believe he's going to take us somewhere. And I believe when this is all said and done, it will be a blessing. I think it will help many of us. Some of us are going through some things, and we're trying to figure out, Lord, how I'm going to get out of this, or Lord, why are you not here? Because some of us may not feel his presence. We may feel like, Lord, has left me, or you're not here. What's going on? And it might seem like he's not moving on your behalf, but I believe that he's telling me to tell you that he's moving by his word. He's moving by his word. So I'm going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to start in Genesis 1. And bear with me because I'm going to bounce around. You could get your pen and note and take notes because I will be bouncing around. And from here to there to here to there, I'm not going to say I'm a theologian, but the theologians that's on the line, praise God. If I say something that's just too out of order, I don't mind being corrected because I always want to be in order when it comes to the word of God. Amen. So I'm going to start in Genesis 1. And before I start, let me just go ahead and have prayer. I always have prayer before the show, but I want to have prayer just to invite the Lord into the studio on tonight. Father God, you are welcome in the studio on tonight. We just thank you. We thank you for the precious gift of your word, Lord. Father God, help us to understand your word on tonight. Understand the power of your word. And Father God, why it's important for us to speak your word back to you, Father. Father God, we know when we're going to find tonight through scripture that you watch over your word, Father God, to perform it so that it doesn't return to you void. Father God, that your word is powerful, Father. And Father God, that it's life and it's productive, Father. And Lord, we just thank you right now for the revelation that you will bring. Lord, we are looking forward to this Rhema word on tonight, that it will be a blessing, that it will be life-changing and transformational. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. So let's get over here to Genesis 1 so we can just build the platform. I found it very exciting because I knew this already, but then, you know, you go back to studying things, and I found it exciting. In Genesis 1, it said, and I'm doing King James Version, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then I'm going to skip down to 3 because this is where it gets important. And God said, let there be. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now let's skip down to 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the water. 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for reasons and for days and years. 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have light and fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmaments of heaven. 24. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. In 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And we notice here that whatever God said was, what I didn't read was the other lines, and many of you have read Genesis 1, so you know the story. But what I want to focus on in 1, 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, and 24, and 26 was, and God said, let. And God said, let. And when he said, let, and when God said, let, it was. So right here is just telling us that words are important. Because God created the earth that we know today. He created this universe by what he said, let there be, and there was. So if that right there is not proof enough that the God who created us spoke words into existence, then what more are we, should we be doing in our lives? We should be, and whether we know it or not, we should be speaking the word of God. But guess what? Even if you're not speaking the word of God and you're speaking words, you better be careful about the words you're speaking, because words could begin to define who you are. Words will begin to create your destiny, positive or negative. Negative words are positive words. You know, I was thinking that they have this thing, and some of you may know some, but it's called love languages. Many of you guys heard about love languages. It talks about different ways people hear love. And one of the languages, words of affirmation. You don't hear a lot of people that will claim or confess that their love language is words of affirmation. But really, the reality of it is that many of us need affirmation, even though we try to say we don't. I have high self-esteem, I'm confident, I don't need nobody to affirm me, I don't need nobody to validate me. But you know what? The reality of it is, if many of us would be honest with ourselves, we all need affirmation. We all need to know that we're loved. We all want to know that we're appreciated. We all want to know that we matter. We all want to know that we're important to somebody. So it's hard for me to believe when people say, I don't need that. It's hard for me to believe. Now, maybe there are some that just don't. But I would say, I would believe that the majority of us want to know those things. We want the affirmations. We want to know that we matter. We want to know that what we're doing. I want to know when I get up and I go to work every day and I'm tired and I'm stressed from the cares of the world for the day. I want to know that somebody appreciates that. You know, I want to know that the fact that I'm coming home and I'm being responsible and I'm paying my bills and I'm keeping up my household and, you know, you want to know that you're not doing it in vain. You want to know that it's appreciated, right? So I think all of us need those words of affirmation. So that's going again, that we know that words are what? Important. Words are very important. If somebody speaks negative words to you, if you're not careful, and maybe if you haven't built enough maturity, those words cause your whole day to be jacked up, right? I know it could be if somebody said the wrong thing to me, or let's say somebody said something negative to me, then that, if I'm not careful and I dwell on what they say, that could ruin my whole day. I could be having a glorious day, and then all of a sudden somebody could say the wrong thing, and it could change my mood. It could change my attitude. Words could change the decisions that we make. And words are various. Sometimes you get informative words. Words are good. Not all, you know, there's not all bad words. You have good words and you have not so good words. But words provoke action. Words provoke action, right? So we know that words are important. We know in the beginning that God spoke. He said, when he said, that means he spoke something. There was words. There was words that he spoke. Let there be. And there was. Amen. And so then I go over here to John chapter 1. And John chapter 1 says, and I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read this through. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Ooh, I'm going to stop right there. Did you hear that? Now, if you don't believe the Word of God, then what I'm saying tonight is irrelevant. But if you are a born-again believer, then this, the Word of God, is your structure. It's your foundation. It's what guides you. It's what leads you. It's what you stand on. It's the Word of God. In John's first chapter, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was who? It was God. Or it was with God. The Word was with God, but then it also goes on to say the Word was God. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Again, we're going back to the importance of words. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the Word. Am I correct? I mean, they said don't add words to the Bible. But let's break this down a little bit. You know, let's get away from the spirit of religion. Let's just break this down in some things we could understand. Because if it said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and then 3 tells us all things were made by, now the Bible says all things was made by him. Well, who is him? Him is the Word. So all things was made by the Word. And without the Word, there was not anything made that was made. Woo! Let's stop there. I'm getting excited. I don't know about you all, but I'm getting excited. Let's chew on this. Because a lot of times we read the Word of God, and we don't take the time to chew on it. We don't take the time to really, hear what we see. What you mean, Coach D? I see the Word that I'm reading, but do I really hear it? I see it, but do I really hear it? I'm going to read that again. That's exciting. All things were made by the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. In the Word was life. And the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I wonder if that could also be viewed as, because it's hard to see in the dark, right? When you get a perception of something dark, and let's just imagine being in a dark room, you can't see nothing in the dark room. So when this says the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, because if they were in the darkness, maybe that's why they couldn't see. There was a man sent from God. Okay, so this is getting into something else. But anyway, but I just thought those first things, when we take it and when we understand that God is the Word is God, and the Word became flesh, and that's what we're living off of. We're living off of the gospel of the Word becoming flesh. And so everything that we're living off of, it doesn't negate the Old Testament. It doesn't negate that at all, because they're all type and set. They all intertwine together. When you really read the Old Testament and you read it, and then you read the New Testament, and you see that there was a lot of things that were symbolic. There was a lot of things that in the Old Testament that was sequels or coming or leading up to the Word becoming flesh. Amen. And so when we begin to read the word and we begin to study the word and we begin to really study. If you can't read a chapter, don't read a chapter. If you don't understand what you're reading, that's fine. Just take a couple of verses. And if you got to keep reading the verses over and over until it begin to marinate with your spirit, the spirit of God that's in you, then do that. Just so that you could get a little bit of clarity and understand it. Now, my revelation, you know, you would think that all of us if we all got the same Holy Spirit, we all get the same revelation. But that's not quite the thing. It doesn't mean that your revelation is wrong or mine is right. It doesn't mean that. But it means what I got out of it. What I got out of it was for me. The word didn't change. If I read verse 3 and you read verse 3 and you got something else out of verse 3 and I got something out of verse 3, verse 3 didn't change. Our perception of what we got out of it may have changed, but the word didn't change. And I always hear people say, well, the word is contradictory and it's confusing and, you know, it contradicts itself. No, we contradict the word. The word don't contradict itself. Because based on where we're at in life, based on our life experiences, based on our own challenges, whatever those things are, when we read the word of God, it may minister to us in a different way depending on where we're at in life than it will maybe the next person. So that's not contradicting. The word's not contradicting because the word didn't change. Our perception of the word or our understanding of the word is maybe where the contradiction comes in at. But the word is the word, and it doesn't change. And the same word I read could be the same word that the next person reads, and maybe we both might get a different revelation of the word. Amen? So the word. Now we understand based on Genesis 1 that God spoke and there was. Then we went over to John 1, and we understand that God was the Word. He was the Word. And that's amazing because when you really go back to Genesis 1 and you start reading that again, it gives you a little bit of clarity, right? Because you imagine God is the Word. He's the Word. The Word is Him. He is the Word. He spoke the Word. When He spoke the Word, there is. And then we go into His Word, and He tells us that He watches over His word to perform it. Now I want to get over there to that section. Bear with me here, and I might be slow. Jeremiah, chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 12. Let me just see something here. Jeremiah. Verse 12, let's see. Again, I'm going to come from King James. And I don't think I want to start at 12. Apologies, everyone. Let's start at 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, he's speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it, and I'm in the wrong scripture. That's not the scripture I was looking for. If anyone is online, all you theologians, if you want to give me that scripture, would be great. You can just raise your hand. But I know a scripture I'm looking for, and for some reason I can't think about it. I can't. Let's see. My mentor always tell me to Google it. So I'm Googling. Okay, I'm sorry. Isaiah 55 and 11. And let's start there at 10. Let's start at 10. And I want to start at the scripture beforehand because I just want to I just want to, because I want to do it in context, because I always say scriptures, and that's what I stand on for certain scriptures, but I want to just say it in context. 10, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, that's Isaiah 55, and that's the 11th verse. And I want to just put this in layman terms. Let me see what it's saying in layman terms. We're doing Bible study tonight. I know y'all was waiting for me to teach, so I'm not going to teach. I want to just read this in layman terms. And when I read it in the message, I don't use the message often, but the message is just layman terms. If you know anything about the message, it doesn't go verse by verse. It kind of takes and lumps together so many verses together. So in this case, for Isaiah 55, it's lumping together verses 8 through 11. So I'm just going to read the whole thing. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, God decrees. So I don't think the way you think. The way I work isn't the way, the way you work isn't the way I work, the word decrees. For as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. In other words, I know what I'm doing. I far exceed wherever you could ever be. So the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descends from the sky and don't go back until they water the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the word that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. Somebody should be shouting right now. If you really just break that down, you should be shouting right now to understand that the God who created us, the word that created us, we are words housed in flesh. The word that created us is saying, speak my word back to the word. It says, speak the word back to the word, because it's the word that will cause things to manifest. It's the word that says, let there be, and there is. So if you are operating in lack, then what do you need? The word. And you need to start speaking the word to the word so that the word will cause it to manifest. And we're not speaking enough word. And God is saying to us in this season, start speaking the word over your situations. Start speaking the word over your circumstances. And if you're not in a situation and circumstance, still speak the word so that those situations and circumstances don't manifest. Many people are praying when they're in trouble, praying when they are going through something, praying when they're sick, praying when they're depressed, praying, you know. But guess what? That same word, you can speak it before. You can speak the word to the word, and the word will cause things not to manifest. The same that he could cause things to manifest, he could also cause things not to manifest. If you want to be in good health, speak the word. I am, you know what the word of God said? That you are what? You are healed. He didn't say you will be healed. He didn't say someday you might be healed. He said, you are healed by his what? Stripes. So we often say around here, I'm the healed resisting what? Sickness. But I'm already healed. Because remember, everything he's done, everything he did is done. It's past tense. So I'm already healed. I'm resisting what? Sickness. And the sickness represents resist what? If you resist the enemy, he will what? Flee from you. This is the word of God. This is not Coach D. So you see where we got to start getting it. We got to know, first of all, we got to know the word of God to speak. We got to know the word of the word in order to speak the word to the word. Right? And the only way we're going to know that is by spending time in what? The word. And as we spend time in the word, we'll know about more about the word, and we will begin to understand the characteristics of the word. And so now when we're praying to the word is manifesting in our life what we're speaking the word over. Is somebody getting this, or is she just talking in riddles? Jesus. I hope somebody's getting it. I hope this is making sense. It may be 3 people on the call tonight, or it might be 300. I don't know. If I was to say goodnight right now, I feel like I bought the word. I feel like I bought the word. And somebody tonight, in just a little bit that you just been said, has been powerful. And if you either get it or you don't. And if you got this and if your spirit can grasp this, you're going to see some manifestation of some things that happen in your life, and you're going to be like, God, I wish I would have knew this before. But it wouldn't have mattered because you know it just now. This is the season that he's making us aware. Yeah, we hear different things. Yeah, you know about the word. Yeah, you know the word speaks death and life. We know all that stuff. But he's telling us in this season, who's he? The word. The word is telling us in this season, speak the word back to the word so that the word could cause some things to manifest. Some of you are dealing with health issues. Some of you are dealing with financial issues. Some of you are not even dealing with no issues. Matter of fact, it might seem kind of scary that your life is going just great. But one of the things we know about this thing called life, there's valleys and there's peaks. And many of us, there's three types of people. Those who are going through a storm, those who are coming out of the storm, or those that's getting ready to go through a storm. And so if you know this, you don't wait until you get sick to start exercising. You don't wait until you get fat to start dieting, because if you eating the proper diet and you're exercising, you're building good habits so that potentially you never have to deal with the sickness. You never have to deal with obesity. You never have to deal with addiction or whatever the thing may be. You'll never have to deal with it if you start building good habits now. So speaking the word, we can start speaking the word. I don't have a circumstance. I don't have a situation. But I speak God's word. I speak God's word daily over my children and my grandchildren. I'm constantly praying that the Lord would give his protective charge over my loved ones, you know, that he would place a hedge of protection about it. I'm speaking the word. It ain't no, oh, God, just protect my people. I'm speaking the word to the word. You know, when I'm going through something, and you know, and those little voices try to come in and make you start, you know, worrying with doubt and fear, or you start imagining, oh, you know, mothers, we got it bad when it comes to our kids. You know, they get home 30 minutes later than they're supposed to get home, and we start worrying. And when that worry comes up to me, I start speaking the word. I start casting down vain imagination. Philippians 4:30, I said, whatsoever things are what? True, honest, just, pure, loving, and of good report. I start speaking it. And when I start speaking it, it immediately brings a peace. There becomes a peace overtakes me because I cannot, guess what? I'm nothing without the word. I'm nothing without the word. Because though I'm words, pounds, and flesh, I want you to get, close your eyes with me, if you will. I want you to get a perception of what I'm saying. Think about, ooh, Jesus. I'm going to say a walnut, because a walnut probably has, out of all the nuts, the walnut shell is pretty hard and it's big. And in the meat, so I want you to think about a walnut. Think about the nut inside being what the word, and the walnut being the flesh that's housing that word. Can you see that? Just see that for a minute. So if you are word and you're housed in flesh, don't you understand that you're in, you got all of this? I'm going to say the flesh has been negative. Let's think of it as a negative feel for you. Some of y'all are Star Wars and Star Trek fans. So, you know, beam me up, Scotty. So just think of all that flesh has been this negative feel for, okay? And it's surrounding the word. It's surrounding the word. But the only thing, the word has to be mobile. The word has to be activated. The word has to active in order for it to be able to penetrate through this field force called the flesh. Because if it's not, if it doesn't have enough activation, if it's not active enough, it can't penetrate through this field force called the flesh. And when it's not penetrating through this field force called the flesh, then the flesh is consuming. The flesh is demanding. The flesh is out to get what it could get, right? So the flesh is doing this thing unless the word is speaking. Just imagine, unless the word, the vibration of the word is speaking loud enough to break through that field force. Oh, I don't know if I just went somewhere. Jesus. And the only way that the vibration and the sound and the clarity and the loudness of this word to break through this field force called the flesh is through the word. Because, again, remember, the word is life, is productive. The word is watching over the word to perform it. Why? So that it doesn't return void. It will not return to him void. It said, the word will do what I sent it out to do. It says it will complete the assignment the word gave it. And man, if I know, first of all, that I'm connected to the word. I'm connected to the word. I know that by faith that I'm connected to the word. And because I'm connected to the word, he has given me the word. Word has given me the word. And now I just have to speak the word. Now, what I have to be very transparent even as I'm sharing this, because as I'm sharing this, it's a little scary. I know we ain't supposed to use the word scary, but just keep it real. We can fool ourselves, but we can't fool God. And I say that because when God brings a revelation to us, and when he brings the knowledge of his word, when the word brings revelation and it brings the knowledge of the word, then we don't have to use that word. So there are going to be some things that can manifest in your life that you're going to now have to use what you're hearing on tonight. Remember the word that you can't just be hearers of the word, but you have to be doers. So just to hear this doesn't mean nothing. You better hold on to it, because you're going to have to use it. You're going to have to do it. You're not going to, it ain't going to, ooh, that's a good message. Glory. No, you're going to have to use it. You're going to have to speak the word over some stuff. You're going to have to speak the word of some stuff. You're going to have to know the word. You're going to have to go to the word. You're going to have to go to the word and speak the word. Again, so the word can manifest. Tonight, not just about hearing the word. It's not just about hearing a message. It's not about hearing a sermon. It's about application. Knowledge applied equals wisdom. I'm hearing it. And this may not be for nobody on this call, but it's for me. I'm hearing it. The Holy Spirit is dealing with me on this. I hear it. I feel it. I know it. It's in my core right now. And God's going to hold me accountable. The word's going to hold me accountable to the word. And whether you know it or not, just you think, oh, I'm just signing into the program tonight. I just want to hear a good word. But guess what? God's going to hold you accountable to this word. The word's going to hold you accountable to this word, too, because one day you're going to have to work this word. And it's going to come to play. You're going to be thinking. You're going to be going through something, and all of a sudden you're going to hear this message. You're going to hear this word. And guess what? You're going to have to work the word. You're going to have to work the formula. You're going to have to work the principle. Speak in the word. God, I thank God for his word. I thank the word for the word. You know, there's a call that I get on. Matter of fact, it's coming up this Saturday. The first Saturday of every month, there's an ambassador call that I get on. The ministry that I was birthed out of. And I get on this call, and in the beginning of the call, the facilitator, she has a session that's called, she gives three people an opportunity to bring a word from the word. And they can't give their own opinion. They can't give their testimony or their thought. They only can bring a word from the word. So they bring forth a word, and that word is normally a scripture. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works, because when you bring forth the word of God bears witness. And generally the people that push one, the three people that's chosen, and it's random. But they already have to have the scripture. They have to have the scripture when they press the one. And it's funny how everybody's speaking the word from the word, and it's all relevant. The word that's spoken is all relevant. And God is saying, all we need is his word. Because guess what? Everything's done already. He ain't going to give you no more than what he gave you. It's done. Now all we got to do is, he's saying, speak my word. Why does his word tell us certain things? Like, for example, I'm going to go here real quick. Matthew 7:7-8. Listen to this word from the word. Ask and it shall be what? Seek and you shall what? Knock and it shall be what? For everyone that asks, receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it should be open. Why is that thing not manifesting? Why is people asking and not receiving? Why are people seeking and not finding? Why are people knocking and the door is not being open? Because he's telling us. And we said, God is not a man that he shall lie. And his word is real. So if this world is real, then guess what? As a born-again believer, and you are connected to the word, and the word is, let me go back to John real quick, and I'm going to close this thing. Get excited. If John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we all will agree. We understand Trinity. But we know that the three became one. So we all believe that it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the three became one. So the same Holy Spirit that's living in you, the same Holy Spirit that's living in me, is the living Word. Wow. And if the living Word is now living in me, then didn't he tell us, God the Son tell us, that the things that he did, we should be able to do more? I know this may just be, you know, you might just say, oh, she just, but when if you're getting it, I hope you got it. If you're getting it, I hope you got it. Because there's some revelation that's taking place on tonight. And even if you heard it before, it's not the way you heard it before. The same Word that created the earth, the same Word that said, let there be, and there was, the same Word that said, in the beginning was the Word that said, let there be, and there was, that same Word that came down in the flesh, who left behind a comforter, his Holy Spirit is in us. Ooh, Jesus. That same Holy Spirit that raised the Word is in us. Think about it like that. And not getting mystical and getting into all this new age scientific garbage, but understanding that the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, loved us so much that he came down in the flesh and dwelled among us only to live in us. And when we say that he's living in us and we get away from the religious jargon and the cute cliches and we understand that the Holy Spirit of the living God, the Word himself, is living inside of us. We should not be living mediocre lives. We should be manifesting some stuff. We should be the head and not the tail, above and not the knee, blessed going in and coming out. We should not have to be a status quo. We should not be running around in fear of the same stuff that the world is running around in fear. Monkeypox, COVID, cancer. Why are we running around in fear? Why are we being dictated to? Why are we closing the church doors? Our churches ain't being right since the doors opened back up. Think about it. The Holy Ghost fire, it ain't the same since the doors opened back up. Half of the 75% of the church ain't even back in church. They didn't got comfortable. And I'm not saying that they gotta go back to church. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not gonna speculate. Maybe God wanted the church doors closed. Maybe he wanted to get us out of our comfort zone. Maybe he wanted us to stop being little fat Christians sitting on the pew, going and getting full belches and going home, but not being productive. Maybe he wanted to push us back out to the street. Maybe he wanted to push us back out to the park. Maybe he wanted to push us back into the upper room. I don't know. But whatever God is doing, God ain't stopped doing what God is doing. Why? Because he's God. He's the Word. And again, in this season, children of God, if you're listening in on tonight, God is telling us we better know his Word because we need to come to him with his Word. All that other stuff ain't going to matter. We need to start coming to him with his Word. We need to speak the Word to the Word so that the Word can manifest the Word. Father, we thank you for the Word on tonight. Ooh, the Word is life, it's power, it's fire, Father God. fire. Father God, we thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke, that we know that the anointing is the very presence of the word in our lives, Father God. Father God, we are yoke breakers, Father God. Why? Because greater is the word in us than the rhetoric in the world. And Father God, I thank you that you're calling us in this season to speak the word and only the word. And the word should set us free. And the word should deliver. And the word should heal. And the word should break bondages. And the word should break negative soul ties. And the word should break disease and disorder and dysfunction. And the word should break depression and mental illness. And the word, and the word, and the word, and the word, and the word spoke and said, and let it be, and it was. And Father, we thank you that it is. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you, Father God, for your word on tonight. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I'm so excited. It is done. I'm excited because I really, oh, thank you. I don't even know. I can't say too much more. The Holy Spirit is just moving. He is moving and he is present. And I just pray. I don't have no doubt that those who needed to hear this on tonight got it. And they needed it because people are going through some things. And just I'll pray for you kind of stuff. Yes, pray without ceasing. But just that I keep you in prayer stuff. People need some tangible stuff. People need some rhema. The truth is where Jesus been. We know he was born in Bethlehem. We know that he turned water to wine. We know that he healed the leper. We know that he healed the sick woman. That is the truth. The revelation is where Jesus is, right? What is Jesus doing right now? That's the revelation. What is Jesus doing right now? And Jesus is living inside of you right now. And he's trying to get us to get it. You know how you got somebody and you're trying to tell them something? Man, I got all kind of knots inside my head. So God just had to pop me in the head. Well, did you hear what I said? Do you get it? Go get it. If you get it, go get it. And that's what he wants us to know tonight. Maybe I'm super excited, but I pray that this word is just, that it'll permeate in you. Just that you'll just meditate on it for a few days and let it get in you. I'm going to start practicing it because I'll be guilty. I see something and I allow my five senses to dictate what's going to come out of my mouth based on what I see. Or based on what I hear. And I'm going to be more diligent with speaking the word of the word to the word so that the word will manifest the word. Because he said there's no good thing that he'll keep from us. So why are people not getting the good thing? And I'm not talking about just material things. I'm thinking about a good thing. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. That's a good thing. Harmony and unity in your home, in your family life. That's a good thing. Needs being met. That's a good thing. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining in on tonight, the process and the pain. I love you all. I'm speaking a word to each one of you on tonight, and I want you to know that you are loved and appreciated. And I thank you so much for your continual support. If processing the pain has been a blessing to you, I'm just going to say, I feel a certain way. I feel like people, you know, when people want to bless you, they'll bless you. You don't have to go around asking people for blessings. And in 8 years, I have not asked people for offerings or sowing a love seed or anything like that, any experience as it pertains to keeping. I mean, I could go on Facebook Live. It don't cost nothing. I have not went on Facebook Live because I believe that I have a percentage of audience, global listeners that listen into my show that are not, a lot of, you know, there are still people that don't do social media. And so That's why I keep the blog talk. It's not free to keep it and or anything like that, but whatever, I tie it into my own ministry, okay? I tie it into my own ministry, and I thank God that he's still allowing me to be able to do so. So I'm saying all that to say is that I don't ask for a love offering. I don't ask for you to sow. Surely, if you want to, that's perfect. That's between you and God. If you feel like this is good ground to sow into. But what I am asking you to do is that if you are being blessed by the things that you hear from myself or my guests on Thursday night, I'm asking you to share. You know, if you go to a good restaurant and the food is good, what you do? First thing you do is call your girlfriend, call your homeboys. Oh, man, this was good. Oh, girl, this was good. And what you do is you pass the link. You pass the number. And you say, you need to be there. You need to listen. And all I'm asking you to do is share. Just share those you know that you feel like could be blessed by the word that's going forth. If you know someone that has an amazing testimony of the goodness of God, which we all should have one. Everybody that's a believer should have one. Even people that don't believe have one, they just don't know. But if you know somebody that has a testimony that you believe could be a blessing, let me know. Let them know. Have them contact me. I'm always looking for guests on the show. You know, I'm always looking to bring in guests that are willing to share their testimony again, according to Revelation 12 and 11, that they overcame them by what? By the blood of the word and by the words of their testimony. See, words are important. Now you understand that. It's important for us to share our testimony because the words of our testimony touches others. And somebody's soul is on its way to hell. Or somebody is on there, and they need to hear your word to change that situation around, to turn it around. So it's important. So if you do know someone that you think would be a good fit for to be a guest on Processing the Pain, please hit me up, and I would love to speak with them just to get a chance to kind of do like a little phone interview and see if they are a good fit. And if they're a good fit, then I would love to have them on the show. Amen. Anyway, I want to not keep you all any longer. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to being with you on next Thursday. Know that you are truly, truly, truly loved and appreciated. And have a safe and joyful Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend is this weekend, and have a safe weekend, and we'll see you next Thursday. Good night.